Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Next month, thousands of diplomats, journalists, and environmentalists from around the world will fly to Cancun, Mexico, for another round of UN climate change negotiations. Ironically, the greenhouse gases from all that air travel is not one of the topics they'll be discussing. The UN gave the responsibility for airplane emissions to the ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization. The group met recently in Montreal to discuss climate change emissions from planes, and after a decade-long impasse, they came up with an agreement. Some are calling it an historic agreement. Sarah Burt is an attorney with the environmental law firm Earth Justice, specializing in international transportation and climate change issues.
The problem is really that aviation is responsible for a significant and growing percentage of global emissions of greenhouse gases. It's about 2% of global emissions of CO2 equivalent, so all gases that are greenhouse gases. But when you take into account the fact that these emissions are at high altitude and the fact that aircraft also emit other non-greenhouse gases like water vapor, which are aircraft contrails, the impact of those emissions at altitude has a magnifying effect. And so they're really responsible for about 3 to 3.5% of global climate change.
And there's more people flying in more airplanes to more places.
That's right. Aviation is growing really very rapidly, both domestic aviation and international aviation. In fact, international aviation is supposed to just about double over the next 25 to 30 years. So that's a significant increase in the number of planes that there are up in the skies.
But aren't airplanes supposedly becoming more fuel efficient?
Well, they're not there yet. Their airlines will tell you that they are doing all they can, trying to maximize their fuel efficiency. In fact, there is a lot that still remains to be done. For example, we use in the United States a ground-based navigation system, which means that aircraft actually have to zigzag across the sky. So they have to lower their altitude to make contact with navigation systems on the ground and then go back to higher altitude again. Whereas if we had a satellite-based navigation system, they'd be able to fly at a more constant altitude, which would be much more efficient.
Well, now the International Civil Aviation Organization, this ICAO, says they've come up with an agreement, if not a solution, right?
They have come up with an agreement. A lot of the details of that agreement are still to be worked out, but what has tentatively been agreed to is a cap of emissions from aviation at 2020 levels, and then also a 2% per year efficiency gain from 2020 until 2050.
So they've come up with this agreement. These seem like ambitious goals. I mean, you've got 2% more efficiency per year, but when all is said and done, is there more going to be said than done because it's 10 years out?
Well, the fact that an agreement was reached is significant. It means that globally, the international community is on board with addressing emissions from aviation. The details of the agreement really are not so ambitious. It's true that they have agreed to a 2% efficiency gains per year. But when you compare that to the fact that industry growth is projected to be at about 3 to 5% per year, you can see that those efficiency gains are far outstripped by growth in the number of aircraft that are going to be out there. And also, it means carrying on business as usual for the next 10 years in terms of flying old planes and using inefficient engines. Really, the agreement reflects what the industry sees as being feasible and not too economically costly, rather than what the science and engineers say is not only possible but necessary in order to have a significant impact on emissions reductions from aviation.
Virgin Atlantic has been pioneering the use of biofuels. And I was just reading that the British Airways and Airbus, the airplane manufacturer, have been developing a system to grow algae near airports in these vast vats. And they expect within 4 years to be flying their airplanes on algae, pond scum.
Yes, it's exciting, and it sounds sort of somewhat out there using pond scum as a fuel. But algae-based fuels have a lot of promise for an alternative fuel source to fossil fuels that can be used in aviation and as fuels for other things as well, like cars and ships. So it seems like a promising technology.
At the end of November, I'm actually going to be flying to Mexico to go to the International UN Climate Conference. And I'm wondering, should I feel guilty about flying there?
Oh, I'm not sure guilt is particularly useful, but I think you should certainly be aware of what the impact of those actions are. Not that we should never jump in a plane, but we should encourage measures to reduce the impacts of those choices that we make.
Well, Ms. Burt, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sarah Burt is an attorney with the law firm Earth Justice.